cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air everywhere as we bloviate and filibuster your podcast needs, your audio content needs now, 8 days a week, a spinoff of the overnight show. And here we are together again on a Sunday, the Sunday podcast, which has done very well, despite the fact we don't really promote it. And I generally forget to send out even tweets on Sunday promoting people to download or post it on the Facebook page to download the podcast. But the numbers have been very good for this. We thank you for that. And you put up with the nonsense, the David Gascon bullcrap that you have to put up with every week. So we do appreciate that from West of the 405 who's here. And we have the mailbag. These are actual questions by actual listeners. And we do this rapid fire, machine gun Maller style, where we're going to go through the questions as quickly as we can. If you want to submit a question for a future edition of the mailbag, Wednesday is the day. Hump day, normally in the morning. Sometimes I forget, but normally in the morning on the Facebook page, which you should be following, liking, whatever, Ben Maller Show on Facebook. I'll send a link out. I'll say, hey, listen, I'll send a post. Post your question here. Or you can send your question via email, realfifthhour@gmail.com. That's realfifthhour@gmail.com. So there's a couple of ways that you can interact to be part of the mailbag. And we do appreciate that. So, all right, let's get right into it here. These are, again, actual questions by actual listeners. Trez in Texas writes in. He says, have you considered a website for the show complete with merchandise like T-shirts, stickers, downloads of show songs, etc.? It could have archives of the greatest hits and misses. And you could dabble again in the gossip stuff without full-time pressure. Maybe a chat forum for militia to go at it from time to time. There you go. He says, you are a big enough commodity and the time waster wouldn't be appreciated by shift workers, truckers at truck stops when not with lot lizards and insomniacs, Trez says. Well, Trez, this is not a terrible idea. And I have played around with the concept of doing something back on, starting a website. I don't have benmaller.com anymore, but starting a website and doing something with the show. But the merchandise thing, I have dabbled in that. I had a listener that made some T-shirts and wanted to sell them, and I helped out. I know people always complain. In fact, I still have some old T-shirts. I was going through some stuff with all that's happened this year with me personally, and I went through some old T-shirts. And I might attempt to put those on the market and sell some of those. But I would be willing to make stuff if there was an interest in it. Like if somebody wanted a Maller Militia hat or a T-shirt, would actually be into it. Yeah, but there's like that sweet spot with pricing where if it's too high, people complain. If it's too low, it's like, well, it's not good quality. So I tried to make good quality stuff, and then people were very upset, and they were complaining and saying, I can't believe how expensive this is. And I thought, well, it's not that expensive. The shirt will last forever. And yeah. Anyway. All right, Brian in Northbridge, Massachusetts writes, and he says, how is Gascon still employed? It's a great question. I don't know. I don't even know if he's on this podcast. He's been very quiet so far. I think you'd have to contact the management at Fox Sports Radio to figure that out.
I was just waiting for a proper introduction. It's been five
Well,
minutes.
I said your name. What more needs to be said?
I don't know.
Jump in. How about, again, this is another example of why you're bad. There's the reactive and the proactive. Be proactive. How about that?
I was just waiting to be properly,
proactive.
Waiting to be properly introduced.
Do you need me to give you a back rub?
That would be nice.
What, do you want the Deshaun Watson treatment?
It would be kind
of you. Sorry, it's hot in here with this towel. Jeez.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, just proper introduction.
So how are you employed, Gascon? Explain to Brian, because he can't figure it out. Many of us can't figure it out. How is someone like you employed? You clearly led management astray, yes?
Yes, yes. I was actually brought in by your former boss, Bruce Gilbert.
Bruce did not every hire was great by Bruce. You know, he made some mistakes every once in a while.
Not everyone was great, but not everyone was bad. Came from San Diego, worked my way up, and obviously you're at the national level as opposed to in little old San Diego. So
if you worked your way up,
go from market 17 to market number 2, I would consider that a considerable markup.
Well, it's actually the number one radio market. There's a myth that New York is number one, but it's actually Los Angeles. Well, more people listen to the radio in Los Angeles than New York.
If you want to be precise, though, we'd be the number one audio publisher in the entire world, iHeartMedia. So if you want to try to one-up me, that is the one-up to
Well, I'm old school. I still use the term radio. I know the industry is trying to...
In the digital world. They've brought you into the digital
realm. The industry is trying to get rid of the word radio. You've heard, audio instead of radio. And I'm like, radio...
The Dodgers did that last week. The Los Angeles Dodgers Audio Network.
Yeah, they no longer have radio. Yeah. It's audio. Yeah. No longer radio. Audio. That's, to each their own. It's not my thing. I don't know. But somebody clearly thought that was a good idea. So. anyway, Pierre from Springfield, Massachusetts writes in, home of the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, where you can see Muffet McGraw in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. So he writes in, Ben, have you ever had second thoughts about signing a contract? I've listened to you for your entire ride at Fox Sports Radio, but lately I fear for your health. In the past, Gagon put the hex on your gallbladder, and more recently, I feel like you're one shift away from throwing your back out, carrying the dead weight that is fill-in producers and update guys. I think that you may need to start self-medicating prior to the show to prevent a heart attack while dealing with some of these buffoons.
This guy writes you every week with sausage in his mouth. It's just like Ben Maller salami every day, all day, tweeting, emailing you.
The way I look at this, there were no lies detected.
Unbelievable.
There were no lies detected.
Well, I mean, first of all, people move up and they move on. You really outcast a lot of people. You don't appreciate their work. And so they go on to do other
Who have things. I not appreciated?
Bob Guerra. Oh,
I appreciated Bob Guerra. Bob Guerra couldn't handle the overnights.
Oh, well.
It wasn't for him. Just like you, you couldn't handle the overnights.
I don't want to work 8-9 hours overnight when there's nothing in the news world going
again?
On.
Again, you do not. You're not relatable. Don't understand.
I think there's better
you're
use
not,
of
listen,
my
some
time.
People have the it factor, and other people don't. You don't have the it factor.
You know, working.
You don't understand. In syndicated radio, you want to be the overnight guy.
No,
We're on more affiliates than the daytime show.
That's as a host, not as an update anchor.
No, but if you work on a show, you want to be on a show that's actually heard. We have more radio affiliates than anyone.
I agree.
Because of the time that we're on, I get it's not because we're great, but it's the time that we're on. What? So if you're doing syndicated, if you're doing a daytime show, you want to be on in the morning or the afternoon.
Yes.
But if you're in syndicated radio, you want to be on at night or overnight.
Right.
Because that's where the listenership, the potential listenership is through the roof because you're on more radio stations.
Yeah, but if I'm going to be an anchor, why would I want to be an overnight anchor when I could just repeat and replay updates like some of the other guys you work with do?
Well, listen, I mean, there is that approach. I mean, I've never understood that. I've questioned why certain people just repeat the same update over and over again. It doesn't make sense to me. I think there's a craft. And when I started, there was a guidebook that was handed out in the early days of Fox Sports Radio called Rewriting Your Updates and Adding New Material. And it fascinated me because there's so much stuff that goes on overnight that drops while we're on the show. And a lot of times that stuff, it's just repeating the same scores over and over again, not really doing the legwork to try to go out and find the stories that are there. But listen, a lot of the people do that throughout the day too. They just give the same scores and they don't put any kind of gumption into finding what's going on out there.
Thankfully, I'm not one of those people. Appreciate
not
that.
What I hear.
You hear wrong.
Guilt by association, guy. Guilt by association.
It's fucked up.
Pierre says, did you mention something about feeding a content kitty? Yes, that's what I put on Facebook, Pierre. The content kitty. Dan in Durham writes in. He says, I had someone steal my don't tread on me flag and pole. It's okay, though. I'm feeling unified. On another note, do you guys know how much about low voltage electric devices?
Well, first of all, I wonder if you caught that person on camera. That'd be a good question to ask.
Well, he's not here. I can't ask him the question.
I know, but he's going to email you next week. So, Dan, let us know if you caught that person or if you saw them on camera stealing your material.
All right, next one. Patricia, this is in the mailbag. Patricia writes in from Vegas, originally from Rhode Island. Yeah, she's moved all the way across the country, but still a Maller militia, a card-carrying Maller militia member. Patricia says, why do I hear some parts of this show is pre-recorded when I listen to a couple of other shows? I can tell the last hour is just a repeat of an earlier hour. Well, Patricia, that you don't want to know how they make the hot dogs, Patricia.
Huh.
All right. I don't get that either, but they don't ask me. Stay in your lane, but I believe radio should be live. A lot of these shows are actually taped everywhere in the industry now. I don't get it, but we do a live show. I have done in the past. I used to do a five-hour show on the weekend, and they wanted a six-hour show. So what they did was they would take one of the hours and replay it in the sixth hour. So I would do five live unique hours, and then the sixth hour would be a repeat. But yeah, I mean, there's some guys that do 3 hour shows and the whole thing's on tape. I don't get it. But to each their own, I guess. It's interesting you picked it up, Patricia, because I bet most listeners don't even figure that out. But usually the tell is if you're a call-in show and you no longer take calls, it's because you've been recorded.
Yeah,
that's usually the dead giveaway. Anyway, well, I remember Rick Dees, the radio legend, he used to record the beginning of his morning show in L.A. at Kiss FM, 102.7 Kiss FM.
Kiss FM.
Yeah. And he approached me in the hallway, and he gave me some sage advice. Now, I don't do this because I don't record the show. It's all live. I figure, what's the whole point of doing a show overnight? You got to be there. And we're talking to people that are working odd jobs and whatnot. Anyway, Dees told me, he said, listen, if you're going to tape something, leave the mistakes in. He said, because the people that listen don't, if they hear a mistake, they think, well, it can't be on tape because, why would you, if it was taped, it would clean up the mistake. Pretty good advice.
He gave me my largest tip when I worked in the restaurant industry. I worked for Petros Papadakis' dad at his Greek restaurant in San Pedro, Papadakis Taverna, and USC's football team, the marching band, and that same night Rick Dees came in and I waited on him. He gave me a $100 tip. I'll never forget it.
Told you, get out of radio. Don't ever go in. Get out of radio. Vahid in New Orleans writes and he says, if you were a famous athlete, this is for both of you, what most likely would have brought you down? Would it be drugs, alcohol, ladies, social media, or blank?
Man, that's tough.
Well, you would be alcohol, drugs, and ladies. It would be like all three. There'd be like trifecta there.
A little Dennis Rodman action?
The Worm? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that any of those would take me down, per se. I don't really do the drugs, the alcohol, moderation. I'm married. If I was single, I could be the ladies, but I'm not a single guy now. So, I don't know. Maybe social media would take me down.
Yeah. I think maybe alcohol for me. Just the partying, going out, and then thinking you can recover. The recovery from a hangover is a lot easier in your 20s than in your 30s. And you go into Vegas.
That's part of being a professional ball player, though. You got to have the ability to compartmentalize. You play your sport, but then after, it's like having a mullet.
Yeah.
It's it's business in the front, party in the back.
Wow.
Thank you. Sage advice by me.
Thank you.
He also says, all bars in New Orleans were closed from Thursday to February 11th to Ash Wednesday. So it says no Mardi Gras in 2021. All right. Sorry.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Al, Ohio Al, writes in. He says, Ben, why do you always say eeny, meeny, miny, moe, pick a caller by the name instead of by the toe, like the old saying actually goes? Well, a couple reasons for that, Al. He says, are you afraid of offending Phylexis, the six-toed drag queen? No, I'm not afraid of offending Phylexis, the six-toed drag queen, at all. Don't worry about that at all. When I'm doing that, that is actually, I'll let you in on a little inside radio here, Ohio Al, and only for you. When I say eeny, meeny, miny, mo, pick a caller by the name, that is a time fill. Because my call board is not reset. And that is a cue to Koopaloop to wake up and actually send the calls over. So that's a time kill. And I say eeny, meeny, miny, mo, pick a caller by their name because I have a list of names in front of me. Not a list of toes. Anyway, let's see here. And Ohio Al also says, what the fuck does Marcel mean when he says mix match in food picks? This makes no sense to me. The Marcel calls are getting very stale, by the way, Ohio Al says. I think he is hoping to get a job at FSR or something with his announcing bits. Yeah, there's likely some truth in that. And back in Marcel, the back of Marcel's head, he believes that he has a job. I think he thinks right now he has a job. He calls in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's part of his routine. He's got a whole bunch of stations he calls into around the country. But that's the beauty of Marcel. Mix Match is his way, and a listener actually pointed this out to us. When he had said Mix Match, that was a sign of you got it right. You had got whatever the food pick was, you had gotten it right. But then somebody, I believe, pointed out to him that he was doing this, and so he stopped doing it for a while. I think he's back doing it, though. So I can't figure it out. What is next here? Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I did not write down the name. This person did not say their name, so I don't know who said this, but somebody wrote in, said, Ben, well, to you, what makes a good baseball hat? Please discuss the best type of crown, high or low, brim, shaped or flat, fit, adjustable or fitted, label, price tag, on and off. All right, so I don't leave the label, like the price tag on. I don't do that. I enjoy a good fitted hat that fits properly more than the adjustable. The reason that is most of the adjustable hats, I have a very large head, and most of the adjustable hats, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work, the adjustable hat. And because my head's too big. And so the fitted hat obviously would fit perfectly. So that is the key. As far as the other stuff, I don't like the flat bill. I don't like that. I like it shaped a little bit. I think it looks better that way. It's more aesthetically pleasing. So those are some of the things I look for in a hat. Anything, Gascon, that you look for in a hat?
I'm a fan of it being fitted and shaped. Of course, the color is everything too. So that's why I'm a fan more of minor league teams than I am of the pro teams in Major League Baseball. I don't think a lot of them have a good look. Dodgers, Yankees, yes. But I'm not really a fan.
I like that Brooklyn Dodgers, the B.
The B?
Brooklyn,
yeah.
Dodgers. Yeah. B for Benny, B for Brooklyn.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. One and the same?
Mm.
Pretty good, right? Come on.
All about Benny.
All right. So a listener who I did not say your name, you know who you are. I thank you. But you got to. I tell you guys every week, name and city before you send the message. Mark from Waverly, Iowa writes in and says, how many hats are you wearing in your current rotation? Great question, Mark. I try to rotate 2 weeks of hats at a time. So in my rotation right now, I have the Oregon State Beaver cap, the Fox Sports Radio cap, Saddleback College cap. There's a couple of minor league hats that are in here. The Iowa Hawkeyes hat has gotten a lot of play in the rotation. And I've been very lucky here. I've got a good percentage of hats that have come in recently. I love this M hat that I'm a Pilot sent in. Smooth. It's a minor league baseball hat. And that's pretty good. The Montgomery Biscuits hat, I think. I think that's the team. So, yeah, man, those are some of them. But I usually try to have 10 hats in a two-week rotation. And then I change it up like every month. I'll try to mix in some new hats. And then I have seasonal hats. Usually during football season, Sundays, I always wear the NFL Shield hat. Sundays into Monday, that's my go-to hat. So there is a method to the madness, Mark. Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia writes in, says, besides the wrestler formerly known as Rusev, have either of you met any wrestlers? Yes, Jason, I have. I've told the story a few times over the years, but I was a celebrity manager at a WWE event many, many years ago. And we were promoting the event through the radio station. They wanted some publicity, so they said, all right, I was doing the Ben and Dave show with this guy named Dave Smith, and we went out there, and we were celebrity managers. I was the manager of the Head Shrinkers, and I remember being in the locker room. It was very exciting. I was a huge wrestling fan growing up, and we were in the locker room because we were the next-to-last event. The next-to-last event. So we had to wait through the undercard. And I met George the Animal Steel, passed away, and Viscera, who also passed away. So the two guys that I met were you know, mild legends. George the Animal Steel, an all-time great. And Rusev, Viscera, I believe was the name there. But yeah, he had actually, the funny thing was that Viscera, the wrestler, he was on the match like before us, and he broke. He was a massively large human being, and he broke the ropes. And so everything got delayed for like 45 minutes as a crew came in to try to fix the ring because he had just destroyed it. And I mean, this guy was like 500 pounds. He was like 6'9", 500 pounds. And he wore... He wore these contact lenses to make his eyes look like demoned eyes. And I'll never forget, we were in the locker room and everyone was complaining. All the other wrestlers were complaining because they're like, oh man, they wanted to get their thing over with and go and enjoy their night. And they had to wait for Viscera, who I think changed his name to something else later on. He passed away a number of years ago. But so he comes waddling in to the locker room. And all the other wrestlers are sitting around pissed off, and he's, you know, shaking his head. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do it. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was a fond memory. Have you met any wrestlers, Gagon?
I met, back in the day, I met Andre the Giant. And oddly enough, it was in Vegas, and that same weekend trip that I was in Vegas and I saw Andre the Giant, I also saw Jaws, the character who played Jaws in Moonraker.
Yeah. Now, when you met Andre the Giant, did you like meet him, or just kind of like casually, hey, hi?
Yeah, it was a casual, hey, hi. Like there was a bunch of people that were next to him. So we were at the MGM, oddly enough.
When I was younger, I went to a WWF event at the Anaheim Convention Center. And this was like in the Hulk Hogan days, that era of wrestling. And I was such a loser that I was more excited to see Mean Gene Okerlund. And I had a Mean Gene Okerlund action figure with him holding the microphone, wearing the tuxedo and all that. And I remember I saw him. I waited for the wrestlers to come out, and Mean Gene came out, and he was wearing like a tracksuit because it, you know, he didn't have to wear his tuxedo and all that. And I fondly remember that. I also fondly remember getting morbidly obese on those WWF ice cream bars. Man, were those things
good. Yeah, tasty.
Damn, were they outstanding. Well-made product. A well-made product for sure. All right. Who is next here? John the Jailer from Allentown, PA says, Ben and Gascon, some personalities behind the microphone work until they die. Do you have an exit strategy, or will I be listening to my grandchildren's lame jokes about Lizzo? Yeah, very funny, John. I don't really have an exit strategy. I love the job. I'd like to do the job in one form or another. I'll stay at Fox Sports Radio for a good amount of time, but I mean, there's other places to work eventually down the line if this doesn't work out. But I don't see myself ever completely getting out of it. I could see myself as I get older just doing shows occasionally on the weekends and part of the time, like the grind per se, the audio grind will be something I would want to do forever and ever, but a couple days a week. You know, gotta keep your fastball up, keep yourself in the game, keep some skin in the game, so I'd be okay with that.
It's like being a head football coach, right? You're hired to get fired.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like a football coach, you still end up like as a consultant or somewhere. You know, these old coaches still work somewhere. They still do something. They don't just completely vanish.
It's true. Old guard entertainment realm is you get a lot of folks that circulate in and then out and then in back again.
Well, it's hard to get in. That's the problem with these entertainment jobs. It's hard to get one. But then when you get one, you don't want to give it up. You want to keep it. And then when you lose it, you want another one.
Yeah.
Ken in Toledo writes in, he says, Ben and David, do either of you have one of those Blackstone outdoor flat top griddles? Ben, if yes, will you cook the now freezer burned tomahawk steak?
Man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's talking about your laziness, your incompetence, your malfeasance.
I don't have a griddle. I got a... And you saw this, Gascon, when you came over to the Mellor Mansion with them. I have a griddle top that I put on my barbecue that turns it into a griddle.
Yeah, what do we have? We had... do we have
food? We made fajitas.
Oh, fajitas.
And then you brought some carne asada over.
That's right, that's right.
But I had chicken fajitas and some beef fajitas, and then you brought the carne asada.
Brought the carne, man.
Cook that up. Joe in Richmond, Virginia writes in and says, have y'all gotten the COVID vaccine? Why or why not? Gascon, I think we've talked about this. Have you gotten the COVID vaccine?
I have not. I'm a little low on the totem pole in terms of people that qualify initially for it. But I know that I think it's April 15th or 16th that Joe Biden had announced that everyone will be eligible for it. I'm actually waiting, though, to see which one turns out to be the most effective, because they've talked initially it was Moderna, Pfizer not so much, then Johnson & Johnson's been on the come lately. And part of the reason for that, that's only one shot with Johnson & Johnson. You might need a booster shot every year, but one shot as opposed to double the dosage you'd get for Moderna and Pfizer. So, no, I have not yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the vaccine either. I've heard we actually could get it, Gascon, because we are technically frontline workers, believe it or not, thanks to the Marshall Act. But I have not, and I will get it at some point. Like, I'm not rushing to get it either, but my wife got it, and a lot of my relatives have purchased it. Not purchased it, they have to pay for it, but my brother is getting it. So I'm waiting to see. I said this last week, but I'm waiting to see how he does with it. And then if everything's good with him, then I have the same DNA, so should have no problems.
I know this is a little dark, but did you hear what FEMA's doing this year with funerals?
No, what are they doing?
So FEMA is actually, they are refunding, reimbursing people up to $9,000 for funeral costs for individuals that have died due to COVID. From 2020 to where we're at now. And I think it's up to 35,000 if it's multiple people in a family.
Paying back the money.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Unfortunately, my dad did not die from COVID, so I'm not eligible to get the 9,000.
Yeah, but if you said that he had COVID at the time of his death, even if he died from, you know, a car accident, you'd qualify. Yeah.
Get some of that money.
Yeah.
Dave from Mill Valley writes in, says, is there a way to find the podcast of last year's talent show? I would love to be able to hear the full version of Mona. Yeah. You're a fan of the talent show, right? Yes, guy.
It's very lazy radio. It's like the Power Hour edition of the Ben Maller Show. Just very kick up my feet.
Again, this is...
Relax my feet.
This is an example of why you're
bad
at this.
You stole this all from JT the Brick and Tom Looney, who nailed it in for 3 hours.
Big fan of the Brick House, clearly. Big fan. No, listen, you'd have to find the date. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know the date of the talent show, but we did it, I believe we did it earlier. I want to say we did the talent show, I think it was in April or May of 2020. I'd have to go back through my notes and check. But, yeah, if you find the date, it's very easy to find the podcast. All the podcasts are archived, so you just have to find the date. But I don't have it right now off the top of my head here. I don't remember the exact date. I'm not Rain Man. I'm not Cowboy in Windsor. I know the exact date. Vols fan Jimmy says, he's from Fayetteville, Tennessee, says, Ben and Mr. West of the 405, as a youth playing sports, what was the biggest thrill of victory for you and the agony of defeat? I think we've been over this before. I feel like we've answered these questions before. This question before, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, go back and hear the old podcast. Bad job by you.
Wow, what a jerk.
I don't want to repeat old material. Yeah. Big Mike from Cortland, New York writes in, the Crown City. He says, it appears that mobile sports betting is coming to the great state of New York.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on legalized sports betting expanding across the U.S., good or bad? It's not good or bad. It's great. The word is great. First of all, I'm a gambler. So for me, you're asking the wrong guy the question if you're looking for a negative answer. Secondly, there are going to be people that are going to lose money and will not be able to manage their money and will get carried away. But it's the same as alcohol. Right? Alcohol is legal. There's a certain percentage of people that drink too much and get into car accidents and problems happen, things like that. But gambling, I think it's a cool thing. I think if you have disposable income, a little bit of extra money, rather than buy a lottery ticket or a bunch of lottery tickets, put a couple bucks down on a game. You're going to watch the game anyway. I think it's a wonderful thing, and it should have been legal years ago. And you know, adults have the decision to make whether or not they want to make a bet or not. If it's not for you, don't do it. Other people want to do it, good for them. To each their own.
I'm going to push back and say that it's a bad thing. The reason why is because I think there was something great about going to Las Vegas. You had to save up money, and you had to allocate certain funds for a weekend or a couple days in Las Vegas. And you don't do that anymore. You don't need to do that. And then on top of that, if you do know this, if you're a gambler, when you go to Vegas, if you're betting on the slots, craps, you know, poker, blackjack, whatever it is, certain tables will give you action. They'll give you comps like drinks, food, rooms, things of that nature. Where if you're gambling on sports right now on a mobile app, you'll get no comps. You might get an initial match play. You put in $100, they'll match you up to $100 and something of that nature. But outside of that, there's no real incentive outside of just comparing books when you're online.
Yes, and you realize that there's nothing called a free lunch. Like even though you think you're getting free drinks and all that, you're actually not. Like those are built into the cost of everything.
Well, I understand that. But if you're winning, I mean, you're getting something for free, are you not?
Yeah, but nobody wins, right? You know going in, the casino's great because you know going in, the odds are against you, that you're going to lose, but you still enjoy it. It's like recreational, it's entertainment.
Of course. But
Who goes into a casino thinking, I'm going to make money, I'm going to make a ton of money, I'm going to come out of here with more money, a bigger pile of money than when I came in here?
Poker players and people that are typically gambling on craps. I mean, those are the two games in blackjack that are close that you get 50-50 odds, at least craps and blackjack, that you get 50-50 odds to the house. It's not accurate to 50-50.
Well, Vegas is going to be fine. People are still going to go to Vegas, the gambling mecca and all that. It's not going to kill Vegas. I mean, sports betting has been legal in a lot of states for a while. It's not like Vegas is falling off the face of the earth. Those casinos, though, they know all the tricks, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't. No clocks, no windows in those Vegas casinos. And they're all designed like a maze. It's fascinating. I read a book about that years ago, about how they design casinos and why they do the things they do and all that. And it's pretty interesting. The mental tricks that they put on people to get them to gamble. See, but gambling is like a reverse ATM machine. You put money in,
yeah,
and you don't get a lot of money back. So anyway, what else do we have? Let's see. Yeah, page down here, page down. Mark in Ottawa writes and he says, how do you come up with the Mahler monologue connect three words? So we've got pink lemonade, barbecue cover, and Jen Psaki. And we're going to combine all these things together and make some baba ganoush. Yeah. Well, there is a method to the madness, Mark, but it's really random. I'll find something that I want to talk about in a monologue, and you know, I'll jot down some some bullet points, and then I'll be like, I don't know, I'll try to figure out a way to tie everything together. So it's not like I go in and say, well, I got to use, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It just kind of organically happens. But some days are easier than others. Some days it's like, I don't really have anything unique here. But blind Emmett, the Seahawk fan in Olympia, Washington, leading the race for blind caller of the year in 2021. He's up for the Betty. He says, if you guys could travel anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I think he asked this question too.
Blind Emmett? Did he?
Not him, but I think someone asked somebody this else. Last
Very
week.
Popular question.
Yeah.
I think we already answered that. We would go like New Zealand or Australia. Or
I said Tokyo.
Europe or Mars or Bangladesh. Oh, I've been watching these vloggers, these video travel guys on YouTube, and there's one of these guys went to Afghanistan and was traveling, you know, like recently, like a couple months ago, went to Afghanistan, was wandering around. Went to North Korea years ago on a trip. Crazy.
I know the WWE does a great job of honoring the military, and they go out to the Middle East.
Did they go to Afghanistan?
I think they've gone, I know they've gone to Baghdad. I don't know if they've gone to Afghanistan.
It's pretty wild, man. This guy was like in a Taliban-controlled city and just wandering around.
Damn.
Like a white dude from Arizona.
Sticking out like a sore thumb.
Exactly. Steve in Swanton, Ohio says, do you guys get along outside of work, watch games together, or cook out? No, not at all. We don't get along together at all. We don't go together. No, none of that happens. Geographically undesirable. Ricardo from Fresno writes, he says, Ben, how much of a feminist is David Gascon? Well, the late Rush Limbaugh would call him a feminazi, Gascon. He is, we call him at work, we call him the Rapino of Fox Sports Radio.
Wow.
Yes. Actually, it looks like Megan Rapino a little bit, too.
Wow. So,
not that that's bad. She's a lovely lady, and my apologies to her.
Purple hair.
Chris in Iowa writes in, says, what is the Mahler maneuver for getting out of the doghouse with the wife? Currently in that situation right now, Chris. He's having some issues there. Chris, I'm pretty lucky. I don't get in the doghouse very often, but normally my wife's pretty chill. Well, I just apologize. And I've learned as a married man that you often have to apologize for things that don't deserve an apology. But you still have to apologize. So I wish I had more to tell you. Gascon's got nothing on this because he's
I recommend you cook single. And you clean.
Well, what if you already do that?
And do better. I doubt he cooks and cleans.
I'm a dishwasher. I occasionally do some of the laundry. I know how to cook. I learned how to cook a couple years back. So
yeah, it's a work in progress for you.
Husband of the year. My God.
Those things you could do. Flowers, cook, clean. Wash the sheets, make the bed.
Eric in Omaha writes and says, is there an athlete you despised growing up but ended up meeting them later in life and they ended up being friends? Well, I wouldn't say friends, and I wouldn't say someone I dealt with growing up. But when I was younger, I'd heard some terrible stories. There's two people that I'm going to name here. And this is off the top of my head. I mean, there's probably others that I'm forgetting that I'll kick myself and say, boy, I wish I had brought that person up if I think about this. But Eric, Mike Milbury and Mike Keenan, a couple of hockey coaches. And Mike Keenan in particular, I'd covered hockey a little bit early in my career at 690, and Keenan would come in with the various teams, and he was such an asshole, such a dick. And, you know, really short and give you the death stare, kind of like the Belichick stuff. And Milbury, I had heard some horrific stories about Mike Milbury, the old Boston Bruin from back in the day. And then I worked at NBC for a year and would travel back every month to Stamford, Connecticut. And we'd all hang out on the set. And then after we wrapped up the taping of the show, we would go hang out at the hotel bar. And those guys would fly into Connecticut also and stay at the hotel. And they were wonderful guys. I have very fond memories of Mike Keenan telling me how he was approached by a Russian aristocrat to go coach hockey in Russia. And then proceeded to try to convince Mike Milbury to go join him and coach a team in Russia. And Mike Milbury was like, I don't know. And then Keenan told him how much money he got paid. And then all of a sudden, Milbury perked up. He's like, maybe. Yeah. I don't think he ever did. But those guys were pretty cool. And Mike Milbury told me the famous, one of the great stories in NHL history, when he beat up a fan at Madison Square Garden right around Christmas. Got into a Donnybrook in the crowd, a Bruins-Rangers game. It's one of the great stories in hockey history, and he gave me the play-by-play from his perspective, what happened, and you know, he was like, hey, I just want, you know, it was around Christmas, I want to get back and see my mom, you know, and this guy, you know, grabbed something, and then one thing led to another, and wham, bam, here we go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anybody for you, Gascon?
Tommy Lasorda.
Lasorda? You thought Lasorda was, mean?
I thought Lasorda was a really nice guy, and then I met him. In person, he was a fucking asshole.
Wow.
And he actually is an asshole, too. He was supposed to speak at one of my sister's graduation or commencement events. Uh-huh. And apparently he had too much to drink the night before, too hungover, didn't show up the next day. And this is in Louisiana. Bailed on them. I had an uncle that he was supposed to speak to an event at an event for my uncle. Bailed on that. He's a dick.
Wow.
God rest his soul, but he's a fucking asshole.
Speaking ill of the dead,
whatever.
David Gascon. I didn't have that experience. I will tell you that my experience with Lasorda, he did have multiple personalities, but I think most people have multiple. There was the public Lasorda in front of the cameras, and then privately, you know, you can't be like that all the time. But I you know, he was nice. He would always ask me how I was doing. And Lasorda liked me, I think, in part because I started covering the Dodgers. I was 19 years old. He only had a couple years left as the manager of the team. But I was one of the last of the regulars at Dodger Stadium that was covering him as a reporter. So I think that he liked that. But I'm glad that he treated you like an asshole. That's good. Well, I like Lasorda more now, hearing that story.
Yeah, he's gone.
Well, I know. Maybe he'll come back to haunt you.
No.
Maybe that'll be the case. Kathleen writes and says, hey, Benny Jett, have you ever done any stand-up comedy? I noticed that you put the same techniques to good use as stand-up comedians. Kathleen, listen, it's open mic night every night on the Ben Maller Show. What are you talking about? No, I've never done stand-up comedy. I've never really considered doing stand-up comedy. Although, you know, if there's money to be made, Joe Rogan he opened a new comedy club. I guess it's not open yet, but in Austin, Texas. Go down to a little stand-up in Austin.
Oh, boy.
Come on. What do you say? You see that house Rogan bought in Austin? Oh, my God. Yeah. Good for him. Living like a king. He got out of California.
That's what
good
happens,
job
man.
By him.
Big shot.
Man. John in Corona, for some reason, says, are you best friends with the hot dog vendors at Petco Park? No. I actually haven't been to Petco Park in a while. Adrian in the Mile High City, he actually sent this a while ago, but I don't think we got to this last week. He said he and his family returned. He lives in, obviously, the Colorado, returned from Midland, Texas. They went on a trip to Midland, Texas to visit family and whatnot, and he points out here, the key part of this message, he says, while in Texas, I finally got to try the famous Raising Cane's chicken fingers at the Midland restaurant. I walked up to the counter and I asked for the Ben Maller special, Adrian said. The young lady behind the counter looked at me funny and didn't know what I was talking about. Then I had to explain to her, Adrian says, that I wanted the Caniac combo, no coleslaw, extra fries, the Texas toast on both sides, and a large lemonade. Adrian says, the meal was delicious, and I will eat there again. He also points out, this is also interesting, during his drive from Denver to Midland, Texas, the speed limit, he says, is mostly 75 miles an hour. So he says he set his cruise control to 79 miles an hour per the Ben Maller Show recommendation that we always talk about, and he made it there and back with no speeding tickets.
Wow. That's pretty good.
There you go. Good. All right. He also wants us to talk to Alan Roach. He said would be a great Friday interview for the podcast.
Good idea.
Do you know who Alan Roach is?
Yeah. Why? I wonder what the fascination behind Alan Roach is, though.
Well, who is Alan Roach? Do you know what he does?
Yeah, he's a public address announcer. I know that.
Yeah, he's the Denver Broncos. You're a Bronco fanboy. He's the Denver Broncos public address announcer. He's also the voice of the train that runs inside Denver International Airport. And he works at KOA in Denver, a legendary radio station.
Does he do the train or does he do the actual airport? Like, I thought he did the...
I don't know. According to Adrian, he says, when's the last time you were at the Denver airport?
It's been a few years. It's been 7 or 8 years. Oh, that's depressing. 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. I know at LAX, they have celebrities doing a lot of the stuff, which I find annoying.
Yeah.
I find annoying. All right, guest guy. Apparently, you have things to go. I don't know. Things to do. Things to, you know, I don't know why. I don't know what you have to do. I have no idea. But
that's my weekend. You know, a lot of things on the plate for the weekend. And
you're rushing me through this. And there's so many other questions we didn't get to in the mailbag.
Yeah, you know, none of them have been addressed to me. So who cares?
Wow. All right, we'll be back on. I will be back on the radio, and I'm sure Gascon will probably miss a podcast or two coming up here. But I will be back on the radio tonight, Sunday into Monday, 11 p.m. Sunday night in the West, 2 a.m. in the East, with 4 hours of original audio content. We'll be recapping the Masters and everything else that happened, the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend at sports. Have a great rest of your day and support the podcast. 5 stars. 5 stars. We'll catch you then.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.